Our reading today continues the story of Pentecost. After the coming of the Spirit upon the disciples, the crowd became confused and asked, "What is this?" Peter answers them this way: "This is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it is to be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." This is the good news for today. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Friends, will you pray with me? Loving God, source of light and life, oil the hinges of our heart's doors, that they might glide gently and easily open to welcome your coming. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I have the best seat in the house. The reason I have the best seat in the house, well, theirs might be slightly better, but the reason I have the best seat in the house is I get to watch all of you. And this morning, as those rose petals came down, I got to watch the reactions on your faces. And some of them, like the crowd gathered in Jerusalem, your expression was one of pure confusion. What in the world is going on? For others, I saw smiles that began as little wrinkles and expanded to take over your face. And for others, I saw hands go up to welcome those rose petals down and even to cradle them in. I was delighted to see that during the passing of the peace, many of you wore rose petals and that some of you still do. That the petals, the Spirit is clinging to you. It was a peaceful moment. Wasn't it? A beautiful moment. In John's gospel, Jesus calls the Spirit the Paraclete. Jesus calls the Spirit the Paraclete, or the Helper, or the Comforter, or the Consoler. And so I can imagine you wanting to open your arms and your heart and to welcome that Spirit in as deeply as you might. But truth be told, virtually the rest of the Bible has something very different to say about the Spirit. And so before you say, "Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me," you might be careful and want to know what you're asking for. For you see, when the Spirit is involved in anything, when the Spirit is invoked, when it is set free or on the loose, watch out. For it is then that things actually get stirred up. After all, on Pentecost, the Spirit did not descend as fluffy pillows to recline. It did not descend as blankets to warm our hearts. Instead, the Spirit came down as flames to set our hearts on fire. The most popular symbol with which we associate the Spirit, the dove, seems peaceful enough. It is the one that broke through the heavens in all the other gospels at the baptism of Jesus. But remember this. Immediately after that beautiful and tranquil moment there in the River Jordan, where all was well and God's voice was breaking forth, that Spirit, even in the shape of the dove, the gospels will tell you that Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness. That Spirit drove Jesus into a place of danger to be tempted, tested, and tormented by nothing less than the devil himself. The Spirit, you see, it launches. The Spirit, it commissions. The Spirit, it drives people forth. Now, in this day, the story of Pentecost concludes nicely. First, with the disciples speaking in languages they had never even heard before. But the Spirit didn't end its work there with those disciples. It kept dancing, kept mixing, kept firing those disciples up until Acts tells us that thousands upon thousands of people joined their movement. And even more than that, just a short while later in Acts, it says this, that those people who joined the movement, they gave up everything that they had, so that they could all share it together. And among them, there was no need. The Spirit drove them to give up everything to be part and parcel of that community. You see, the Spirit didn't just give birth to the church on Pentecost. It launched it. It drove it forth into the wilds of the time. It is the stuff of visions and dreams, never quite finished, never settling for what is, but always instead imagining what is possible. I think we get a little loose with the Spirit these days. Here in this church, we invoke it on everything. We invite it into our midst as if it's a Labrador retriever going to curl up at our feet and keep us comfortable and warm. We pour it forth on tiny little babies. We bless this feast with it. We yearn to always be in its midst and to hold it near. And yet, whenever the Spirit is set free and on the loose, watch out. I think it's fair to say that whenever we have a baptism in church, joy fills people's hearts. When they hear we're having a baptism, they know it's going to be a moment of great joy. This morning, all of you, you're all guilty of this, not just me. You all invoked the Spirit to enter into those waters that we put on top of Betsy. And while Betsy quietly and beautifully accepted that gift of the Spirit never settles for any one moment, even as beautiful as a baptism. Instead, it wends its way into our hearts and into our lives until it changes everything. When I talked to Miles and Jill the other night about why they wanted to do this baptism, they said they wanted to share Betsy with all of you. When we spoke about their desire for baptism, they talked about how they thought it would bring them ever and more deeply into relationship with all of you as a chosen family. This morning, with the Spirit in our midst, we made a covenant. We made a holy and sacred promise, not just with Betsy, but with them as well. I'm going to remind you, just in case you are simply reading words out of a bulletin, but you promised this morning. You promised that you would teach and care for, that you would claim Betsy as your own. And so we cannot just settle for what is. We cannot just let this be a beautiful morning surrounded by family and friends. We cannot just sit back and revel in the events of water and blessing. Rather, we have to invoke the Spirit upon ourselves into a promise that will last as long as we live, a promise that is meant to be passed down. Do you remember you told them that you would tell her the stories of your faith? You would tell stories with your breath, the very breath of life, passing down the stories of life to Betsy as long as she is willing to listen and hear. Later in worship today, we are going to invoke the Spirit into these elements. We are going to ask it to weave itself into the bread and to dive deeply into this cup. And we do it not just to transform the meal or the moment, not just to create an encounter with the risen one, but rather that through and by this meal, we might be driven forth to follow the risen Christ. The Jesuits have this wonderful and beautiful teaching, and it holds true to the grammar of the Greek in which it was written. When Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, he's not just talking about sharing this meal. He's not just talking about symbolically breaking open bread, but rather taking up our cross, even if our lives and our bodies might be broken by it. That's how we remember Jesus. When he talks about pouring out this cup, and to do that in remembrance of him, he's not just talking about drinking deeply, although I hope you do. He's talking about going out and risking yourselves to protect the vulnerable, even if it means pouring out your life force. This morning, there's one other way that we're going to invoke the Spirit, one other way that we're going to set it loose among us. In our passage today, Luke writes that the Spirit is poured out on all flesh, that the young will see visions and that the old will dream dreams. I was struck by that difference between what the young do and what the old do. On this day when we affirm our vision, I thought I might share where that reflection takes us, because you see, you should be forewarned before we affirm anything like a vision, and certainly before we ask for the Spirit to bless it and us. Visions are the stuff of life. Without a vision, the Bible says, the people perish. And yet, what we are going to do this morning in the midst of the beauty of this place and within the historic and sacred walls of this building is not the finish line of this vision process, but rather the starting line. What we are going to do today is to call the Spirit down that we might be sent out, driven out, compelled outward to fulfill our mission as a church, to be Christ's love in the world. For friends, the Spirit never settles for what is, but drives us to the imagination of what might yet be. And even when we reach 2024, after 7 years of wrestling, loving, toiling, embracing, living, and learning with this vision, we are not going to be done. For once the Spirit grabs hold of you, it never lets go. In the Jewish tradition that these words come out of, there was a profound respect for the elders in the community. So when we talk about what the old ones do, it's cloaked in honor. It is cloaked in the greatest blessing. Acts tells us that once the Spirit runs amok in your life for long enough, you transcend even visioning. You go right past all the planning and discerning, and Luke says you simply dream. Not the pie in the sky wishful kind of thinking, but the kind of conviction that truly knows that with God, in God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, anything is possible. And so while the young might have visions, the wiser old ones will transcend those visions into the stuff of dreaming, where anything might happen. In a moment, we're going to sing a song I know you know by heart. We're going to invite the Spirit to fall afresh on us. As you sing, I want you to do the same thing you did at the open of worship. Open your hearts in confusion or in joy or in wonder. Open your hearts to let the Spirit embrace you, as dangerous, demanding, and transforming as it might be. For friends, when we are done singing, we're going to affirm our collective vision, something that will shape our journey for the next 7 years, something that will guide and lead us, something that will uphold and uplift us, something that will undergird us and push us. Never by our own strength or skill or might, but rather always and forever by the power of that Holy Spirit. Friends, when the Spirit is set free and on the loose, watch out. Amen.